Sunlight Band. We want to welcome everyone here this morning, and we have a saying around here that is how we hope everyone feels when they come through our doors. So, welcome home. Why are we here? To worship God. We have a couple announcements before we get started with our service. You should have received a bulletin on your way in, and inside that bulletin is a Connect card. We're going to ask you if you can fill it out and tear it out. And put it in the offering plate when it comes by. That's very helpful for us to have that information to better serve you. Also, I want to point out that we have some tables in the back, and those are for Christian Believer, Financial Peace University, Disciple 1, which has an afternoon and an evening class, Disciple 2, and Disciple 4. So, and a Sunday school class is back there as well, so be sure to check those out. And also, we want to point your attention to the mission box for this morning, which is ALS. We've probably heard of it a lot recently, this is Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's a for the nervous cells in the brain and spinal cord that control voluntary muscle movement. And I don't know about y'all, but I've heard a lot about it, even in folks in our congregation who have been affected by it, who I had no idea, but due to the Ice Bucket Challenge, which, who's heard of the Ice Bucket Challenge? You've all heard it, right? That's got a lot of awareness to it lately. And some of us will be doing it again today. Dan did it all by his lonesome at 8:15, and it was quite epic, I must say. But he'll be doing it again at this service. And so if you want to give to that cause, the mission boxes are those wooden boxes located in the back. And I'll invite Elizabeth Jones, our children's ministry director, to come up at this time and introduce some of our Stepping Stones folks.
Yes. It is my pleasure to introduce one of our children's ministry's team members, Jan Bank. She is the captain of 31 staff and teachers and 170 children. So, Jan.
Ahoy, mateys. My name is Jan Banks, and it's a real pleasure to serve this congregation through your vibrant preschool ministry. Our theme this year is Come to the Water, and we plan on going overboard for the Lord as we learn about the wonderful world of water and living water. Our ship has been in dry dock this summer. We're ready to cast off with freshly painted classrooms and new carpet and a new surface on our one-year-old playground. But what really keeps us afloat are these extraordinary, why don't you guys come down a little bit? Our extraordinary sailors who are so excited and dedicated to set sail on a new school year. We will be referring to our navigational guide, the Bible, daily, but we ask for your prayers as well. So in your bulletin today, we have all of these wonderful sailors listed, and if you'll just whisper a prayer for fair winds and following seas, we would sure appreciate it. So come to the water. We'll meet you there. Let's jump in. The water's warm.
Let me offer a prayer. God, we thank you for these amazing people. And all around town, all around this community, we hear the wonderful stories of stepping stones from years gone by and right today. And for I just ask that your spirit will be upon each teacher, each leader, each staff person, that you'll convey your powerful love and grace through them to all the students and all the families that come. Bless and keep them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let's hear a word of appreciation for these folks. Thanks. Thank you. One other quick thing. I'm glad you all are here. As Esther said, we're doing the ice bucket challenge at the end of the service. And if any of you are going to do that, let me know. Well, I think we have enough ice and enough water, and you can come up at the end of the service. Aaron made some quotes the previous service that last year about this time in the year of raising money for ALS, there was like $4 million. $2 million. And now as of like recently, that's how many? $62.5 million because of this whole deal. That's astounding. And so, yes, I'm going to do it. And I've got a bucket for Aaron and Esther, and I've got one for me for my my part of it. So that'll be cool. Hey, a couple quick things. I think Sally Klein may join. Sally, are you here? Are you going to do the? Oh, good. And Sally, many of you know Sally. I've put it on my Facebook, and others have spread it around. Sally's son Ed, and named Flip, and Jess, they're home burn, and there's this amazing organization. I may ask you about it when you come up, Sally, so at the end, so you can get it right, but we'll hold that. But amazingly wonderful things, amazing what people will do in such positive ways. So that's coming up, and if you're new, we welcome you. I wish you would now stand and greet the people around you and say, "It's going to get cooler one of these days." Greet the people around you, would you? Welcome them.
Good morning, everybody. If I could invite you to sing this morning with us. Throughout the Bible, singing has been an important part of our faith. When the Israelites got to the other side of the Red Sea, in Exodus 15:1, the people sang that the Lord had delivered them from Egypt. In 2 Samuel, David sang great songs of thanksgiving. He declared that he would sing his praises to the Lord. And so many of our psalms make reference to singing praises to the Lord. The angels sang of the birth of Jesus. And when the disciples had finished the Last Supper, they sang a hymn as they walked to the Mount of Olives. So let us sing this morning. Let us sing our praise to the Lord this morning.
We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Let's do that again. We will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your name. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. You are the love. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us. Like a fire burning, Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. We will sing, we will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. And we will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your name. And lift high the name of Jesus. Let's sing that one more time. We will sing. And we will sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, 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 grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus.
Come Thou Fount is one of my favorite hymns. When it speaks of the Ebenezer, it tells the story of in 1 Samuel, when the people of Israel were delivered from God, were delivered from a sure defeat in battle. And the Ebenezer was a rock that Samuel placed and said, here at this spot, the Lord deliver us from our enemies. The Lord was with us. And as we sing this morning, let us reflect on the times in our journey of faith when the Lord was with us, when our strength was drawn from the Lord, and how the Lord would be with us.
Come Thou Fount, every blessing to my heart to sing Thy grace.
Let's do that again.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing to my heart to sing Thy grace.
Very good.
Streams of mercy never ceasing, songs of lungs are loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of God. Thank you.
Jesus on me when a stranger wandering from the fold of to thee, and prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above. If you join with me in our statement of faith, we believe in God, our creator and loving parent, who shapes and molds us, calling us forth to new life and new beginnings. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, who walks with us through life's journeys, showing us the way, the truth, and the life. We believe in the Holy Spirit, our advocate and comforter, who blows peace, strength, and perseverance over our lives. We believe that our faith is not merely a set of words or hollow sayings, but that it is life-giving and life-changing, bringing God's kingdom to earth. Amen. And have a seat, please.
And at this time, we're going to get the opportunity to pray to that God, who is all of those things that we just said. And we remember those folks who are in the hospitals and in rehab. And also, we rejoice for the good things. We had a baptism of two little ones in the earlier service, and those are just times of celebration for all of us as a church and thankfulness for our teachers. And so let us go to this God who listens and cares. Let us go to that God in prayer. Merciful God, we do give you thanks for another day of life, for the blessing that that is. And some days it feels more like a blessing than other days where it may just be downright hard. But God, we thank you that you are the God who is the same however our day is going. And God, we thank you for the big and little things. Thank you for rain. And for the life that it brings, the life that it gives. And yet at the same time, we remember those who maybe do not have shelter. And so God, a God who is in the tension of all of that, of the blessing and the trial, we praise you, but we thank you for that presence and pray for more of it as it is hard. God, we lift up to you all of our students who either started this past week or are beginning this week. For all the teachers, and God, I specifically ask you for those college students that are starting up this week as well. Thank you for your presence in their journey up to this time. And God, we pray that you continue to pour out your grace on them as they grow, not only in knowledge and however other ways, but God, may they grow closer in relationship to you. May they know you better, maybe for the first time, as they are now being more independent. God, just thank you for them. We pray for all those who are in war-affected areas, God, whether overseas or in our backyard, in our own streets, or in our own homes. God of peace, we pray for a peace that maybe is unfathomable or that we can't even understand. But we trust that you can be that God for us, for a peace that is not just the absence of conflict, but God, for a peace that is the presence of justice, we pray. And for all those struggling, for all those who are maybe praying just because they feel like they have to or not sure if you're listening, God, we pray a special outpouring of your mercy and grace this morning, that you may speak words to us that you long for us to hear. May you bring comfort and peace, for we need you, God. And so we pray that you be with us, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll ask the ushers to come forward at this time, and we're going to say another prayer and blessing for our offering. As everything that we have comes from God, and we are giving back to God what is God's, and let us pray for that. God, we do give back to you what is yours, giving you thanks for everything. And we pray that you bless this offering and these tithes in a special way, and that they may be used for the growing of your kingdom, that all may know of your love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Sorry about that. All right. So this morning, we're going to sing a wonderful song called Your Love is a Song. Actually, I didn't write this focus. Jasmine, she left a wonderful little focus for us today. So, this morning, Sunlight will be singing Your Love is a Song by Switchfoot. This song was written from the perspective of someone who's willing to awaken all of their senses and become completely vulnerable in the amazing power that is God's love. This person expresses a desire to let go of all the negativity and pressure that surrounds him, and hones into God what has in store for the future. In the busyness of our lives, it is easy to believe that our way is the best way. That is the perception of what we want ourselves is the only one that could ever work out in the end. As Christians, being able to open our hearts and minds to all the wonderful things God's love can do in our lives is something that many of us struggle with. But when we finally come to the point of submitting everything that we are to God, we have the opportunity to genuinely appreciate God's love. One of Sunlight's goals is to deliver God's message through all the songs we perform, and we hope you are able to find something in the music that helps you in your personal journey with God. And so singing with us, our soloist is Joey McGinn and the Sunlight Youth Choir.
Stars are falling out, my dreams are fading now, fading now. I've been keeping my eyes wide open, I've been keeping my eyes wide open. Yes. clouds are blowing now. The moon is blacking out. It's blacking out. Well, I've been keeping my mind wide open. I've been keeping my mind wide open. Keeping my hopes unbroken. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, your love is a symphony all around me, running through. Love is a song.
Sunlight, thank you, Joey. I want to begin by asking you a question. If one of the Sunlight kids came to you, if one of the Sunlight kids came to you and said, I really want to gain wisdom as I grow up, as I get older and older. I want to gain wisdom. What's the pathway to wisdom? What helps people gain wisdom? I want to suggest to you there are two particular things, at least from the scriptures, at least from today's text, that are the surprising pathway to wisdom. We'll learn from James, it's the trials that come to our lives. The things we hate, the things we wish weren't there. We sort of in a common way say the school of hard knocks. But James is going to take it to a deeper level. And then Psalms says the pathway to wisdom is knowing your days are numbered. Knowing there's an end in sight. And so that's where I want to go today. Let me look first at the book of James. We're beginning a series on the book of James. And verses 2 through 5 today, if you'll bring those up. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. You see the pattern? Bring back the first verse, would you? The pattern is trials, perseverance, maturity, wisdom. So now, in the NIV translation, it is this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, I'm really grateful for that translation. Some of your Bibles will translate it for every kind. Now, I'm going to tell you my interpretation of this. I'm glad James said for trials of many kinds. Because I'm assuming that there are some trials that are just overwhelming. And it is nearly impossible, if not impossible, to consider it pure joy. At least I'm just telling you. I mean, if somebody gets a prognosis of you've got pancreatic cancer, consider it pure joy? I don't think that's what James is saying. Or Alzheimer's. Or ALS. Or any number of other things. That really, to say it's pure joy, you'd think something's not right about that person. This is my own view of this. Or you might get to the point, as one of the saints in my Wednesday morning study, when her husband had 10 years of Alzheimer's, she said, here's where I got to eventually. I was able to thank God in the situation, but not for the situation. That's good, isn't it? I could thank God in the situation for the expressions of love and kindness and grace and all kinds of really helpful things that people did for us. I could thank God in that, but I couldn't thank God for it. And that's who we are as Methodists. We don't really believe God does this to anybody. These things come. So I'm really grateful for this phrasing, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, what's he talking about? Trials. I'd like us to think about this. That's a spiritual deal. There's also the emotional and the physical. Let's think of it physically. Any of you who go to work out because you know you're supposed to do strength training, you're supposed to do this, it's good for your bones, it's good for your muscles. What does it do to you? It pushes you. It's like a trial. It's like stress. It's like spiritual exercise for your muscles. And you push it. Push them to your breaking point, and that's how you grow your muscles. That's the way it works. Emotionally, this Tuesday, Dr. Oz, at the bottom of the front page, you may have seen it, he talked about stress. He said these sudden bursts of stress during the day can be really good for you. Not chronic stress. Chronic stress, that's like kind of trial I was talking about earlier, that can overwhelm you and depress you. And he goes on to say, if you're loaded up with chronic stress, and then another little stress comes along, and you start eating all this comfort food, and he said you gain 11 pounds in a year. That's what he said. But he said, little bursts of stress, just like these kinds of things, 15, 20 minutes, twice a week, little bursts of stress. What does he say? Bring up that, he says two or three things. Almost similar to James. Go down to the next part. Not the scripture, but the next. Not that one. Not that one. Not that one. Okay. Here's what it says. And I'm sorry, I don't always get that up. Here it is. This is what Dr. Oz says. A little burst of stress can focus our attention. I guarantee you, all those teachers, the stress of tomorrow. No, you don't start tomorrow, do you? You come back tomorrow. Okay, but the kids come back. Okay. Tension is focused. I mean, when I see Jan in the office, her attention is focused on what's coming up. Stress can focus our attention. It can do really good things for us. Secondly, Dr. Oz says it can motivate you to strive harder. That's the next one. Motivate you to strive harder. Third, it can delight you with the joy of competition. Do you notice the same wording? This emotional stress, James' wording of trials that come our way. Now, we're not really, don't generally think of it that way, and I don't generally think of stress this way, but I'm really delighted in this other way of looking at it. Little bursts of stress can focus our attention, motivate us to strive harder, delight you with the joy of competition, and then he says, may do this, may improve your memory and strengthen your immune system. That's from Dr. Oz. And we're holistic, aren't we? So what happens in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, in the emotional realm, they're all similar. And so what James is talking about is the same thing that the physical fitness people talk about and what Dr. Oz is talking about. When our kids were young, or when your kids were young, if you go to Toys R Us and they want this, 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 and this, you put something in front of them and say, hey, here's the deal. Pick out which one thing you want And if you really want it, we'll go half with you, and you pay for the other half. And what does that do? It causes them to focus their attention, prioritize, make decisions. It's a part of helping them gain wisdom as they go through life, because all through their life, they're going to have to make certain decisions. And your goal as a parent, any goal as a parent, is to lead to independence and maturity and wisdom so they can make responsible decisions for themselves. And so you don't put trials in their way, but you help them learn from trials. Consequences. If you do this, what do you think might happen? Oh, okay. What are the logical consequences? That sort of way. And so the same way, God uses trials and challenges in our lives to make us mature, persevere, grow, gain wisdom. And if you and I can think of trials that way, as the book Jesus Calling, 2 days ago the devotion was, as spiritual exercises for your spiritual muscles. Now, the other way of gaining wisdom, in addition to the trials that come our way, is through the realization that our days, we're not going to live forever. Even though it's sort of built into us through our teen years and our early 20s and 30s and 40s, some of us 50 if we don't mature, we're going to live forever. One of you sent me, and it was on your Facebook page and I saw it, a talk by Andy Stanley up in Atlanta, really good, about time, about gaining wisdom. And so Psalm 90 says this: teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. What does he mean? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. If I could tell you the whole of Psalm 90, it begins with from generation, let's see, how does it go? God has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. A day is like 1,000 years in your sight. That God is from here to here, everlasting. There's no end to who God is. And then he goes and says, but man and woman are dust. Human beings are dust. We're here today and gone tomorrow. We're like grass that's fresh in the morning and then withers at night. What's he saying? God is God and we're not God, and God is from everlasting to everlasting. God is forever, but we're not. And then he leads us to this: teach us to number our days. Teach us to know that our days are numbered, that we're not going to live forever. And once you bump into that reality, you're going to change how you make decisions. When you have a deadline, when you have a trial, I guarantee you that this coming Saturday, every coach of college football, except Spurrier and the Texas A&M coach who play this Thursday, they will have had that day, this coming Saturday, August 30th, circled on their calendar. That's the day. And because there was that day, everything backed up from that. Teach us to know that our days are numbered. If that day never was on the calendar, wasn't out there, you never knew when the first game was going to be played, you would go about getting quarterbacks and defensive ends and all those people trained and ready differently, wouldn't you? And every woman in here who's ever been a bride, and every husband here who has no clue how many details go into this sort of thing, every bride circles that day, and everything, every detail is backed up, because teach us to number our days. Know that our days are numbered. And so it affects, it gets our focus, it gets our attention. Just like the start of school. When John F. Kennedy in the early 60s said, we're going to the moon by the end of the decade. There was a deadline. I lived in Titusville. Everybody talked about that. All that stuff went into that. A year or so ago, our church said, on June 1st, we're going to have our mortgage paid off. That focused us. It caused miracles to happen that I had no idea would happen. If we had to stretch that out. And so think of a trial that you might be dealing with. Not a huge one, not one that's overwhelming, but the start of school, the deadline for work, the challenge for this, the challenge for that. See how it's healthy? It focuses your attention. And if you persevere, as you persevere through that, you grow, gain maturity, you gain wisdom. And that's how it works. That's how God causes us to work. Years ago, I noticed something that happened often. Very often in the people who've had a heart attack and survive it. or people who have a near-death experience and survive it. Doesn't always happen. But many times, what happens is they make a huge change. Have you ever noticed that with somebody? They make a huge change. Even though they may have been nice before, they're nicer. They're kinder. They're more loving. Why? Because they knew their days were numbered. They came close to that. They had a new understanding of that. It happened to my dad. Dad was a great guy. Wonderful guy. Not very expressive. After his heart attack, life became really precious. And he told us more often compliments, positive things. A friend of mine who's a district superintendent, kind of fiery, had a heart attack, almost died. It's really intense. One public time I remember he asked forgiveness for another leading pastor in the conference. He said, I don't want to live not asking forgiveness. I've been that close. Teach us to number our days so that we'll change the way we live. If you knew you only had one more year to live, what would you do differently? How would you treat people differently? What would you say? Bronnie Ware learned something that a lot of us have known, but she's a hospice nurse over the last 15, 20 years, has taken notes, writing a book on spending time with people during the last 2 months of their lives and asking them about it, interviewing them. What are your joys? What are your regrets? So she's doing what you and I find it hard to do, is realize our days are numbered. She's going to give us some advice as if we knew it, as if our days were numbered, because she's teaching us from those people whose days were numbered. They had 2 months to live. They knew it was near the end. And the top two things they wish they could do over again, what they would have done if they had lived life differently, what their chief two regrets are. Maybe you know these. The number two thing, I would have changed things so I wouldn't have missed my kids' youth and my partner's companionship. Now, what she said was this. She said, they said I wouldn't have worked so hard. But I nuance that differently because I don't think it's about the work. Because I know lots of you who work really, really hard and play really, really hard and engage with your family really, really intentionally. It's more of, I would have changed things so I would have been more intentional about the way I lived. So I wouldn't have missed my kids' youth. My kids this, my kids that, and my partner's companionship. I wouldn't have gotten off with the boys as much. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have sort of gone through life as if it would be forever. I would have changed my focus, my priorities, my decisions. I would have lived differently. And the number one regret, which amazed me kind of, is this. I wish I would have had the courage to live a life true to myself. Not a life others expected of me. You see, health brings us a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. Health brings us a freedom very few of us realize until we no longer have it. And so now we have the wisdom of people near the end of their life who are facing the ultimate trial. And all these trials along the way are there for us to learn wisdom, priorities, decisions. And so, number one is, if I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not a life others expected me, if I don't go to that party, they won't like me. Who won't like you? What difference does it make? If I don't do this, I'll miss out on what? And it's so easy to get caught up on what others expect of us, isn't it? So there you have it. Think with me of two other things, of a moral trial that you've had, and maybe you failed it. Learn from it. Ask forgiveness. Maybe you conquered it. Learn from it. Rejoice. Build on it. Or a spiritual trial. Maybe you've come up against it. Didn't do well. Learn from it. Ask God forgiveness. And then ask God for strength to persevere the next time. Now, I'd like to close with the trial of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, because it's a perfect illustration of our text from the book of James and Psalm 90. There are these smaller challenges like getting a bucket of ice water poured on us. I want to tell you that focused my attention this week. I hate ice water. I don't like it. Some of you go to the Gainesville Health and Fitness Center, Jan, and I go. She, after her workout, gets into the cold pool. It's 55 degrees. Can you imagine that? The most I've ever gotten in is up to my ankles. That was once. That's on a little scale. It happens every week. Sunday's coming, you know. You focus. You change directions. But on this larger scale, what this whole thing has done is mobilized people with this challenge to give the money, $62 million. And it'll grow and grow. And hopefully we'll raise a lot today. A few days ago, Esther, Reverend Esther, who, by the way, all of you want her to sing every Sunday now, don't you, after last week? Yeah. Have you got one for today? No, okay. That was beautiful. She sent me a video about Pete Freitas, the guy behind all this, the guy whose story. And I was tempted not to watch it because I sort of thought I knew everything. But, wow, this was so strong and helpful. And it's also going to give me time to change out of these clothes into something else. And during the video, if those of you who, when you think it's getting near the end, those of you who are going to be a part of this, come up to the front. And then after the video, we'll pour the ice. Water. For me, it's in memory of my mom, and who in 1996, in March 28th, was given the firm diagnosis. I think people were aware of it before, of ALS. And then in May 28th, she died, just 2 months long. Be in memory of my mom in support of all those who have ALS, and I'll challenge the men in my Monday and Tuesday morning men's group to do this as well. Would you show this video of...
Where does a phenomenon begin?
I'm proud to take the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Ice Bucket Challenge for ALS.
How does a movement start? This starts with one challenge.
I am doing this in honor of Pete Freitas.
With one name.
Freitas is swinging the bat today with an awful lot of confidence.
As a hard-charging outfielder, Pete Freitas was the team captain at Boston College in 2007.
That's a grand slam home run for Peter Freitas!
A lifelong Red Sox fan, his finest moment in baseball came in one at-bat on his favorite field.
Playing at Fenway is just, you know, a dream come true for any kid growing up around here. I went 4-4, hit a home run at Fenway.
4 years after graduating, Freitas was playing in a men's league in Boston in 2011 when he sensed something was wrong with his body. In March of 2012, after months of guessing, a neurologist delivered the news.
And he looked straight at Pete and he said, honestly, I don't know how to tell a 27-year-old this. Pete, I believe you have ALS. I just started screaming, oh my God, my son's going to die.
I've always kind of been a positive guy. For me, it was, okay, here's what we're dealing with. Let's go to work.
Pete made a choice. He would attack the disease. He would make a difference. He would make his fight matter. In March 2013, he earned an audience with the Food and Drug Administration in Washington with a simple goal, more attention and more action.
I ask of you, let's speed up the process. Let's work together and let's get this disease a thing of the past. Thank you.
You go in, you give these impassioned speeches, people are nodding, tears are coming down their face, they get it, they come up to you afterwards, and you're wondering, okay, so what are you going to do about it? What is the action item? What is the goal?
Some goals are more personal than others. On June 1st, 2013, Pete married Julie, who he'd met 8 months before he was diagnosed.
Mr. and Mrs. Peter Freitas.
Now, almost entirely confined to a wheelchair, Pete walked her down the aisle.
I just love him, and that's that. And Pete's always telling me it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I'm like, haven't we had the worst yet? Like, this is it. Okay, enough. Like, can it get better now? It's hard to just watch someone you love so much just... You know, their body is just failing, and there's really nothing I can do about it. There's nothing the doctors can do.
Two and a half years after the diagnosis, Pete requires a full-time nurse for most daily activities. He uses a feeding tube to eat. He speaks through the use of a computer. And in September, he's due to be a father. Back in May, during one of the last times he was able to talk at all, he described that feeling.
I can't imagine how happy I'm going to be with my own little baby.
So, how did one man with one fight become the center of a social movement? Last month, one of Pete's friends introduced him to the Ice Bucket Challenge, where people are asked to dump a bucket of ice water over their heads and post the moment on social media. The point? To raise awareness and funds for a given charity. Pete couldn't do it himself, but he could ask others to do it for his charity and his cause, ALS.
And this is all to raise awareness for ALS and Pete Freitas.
Suddenly, athletes all over Boston were doing it.
To support ALS and my friend, Pete Freitas.
Then, athletes across the country.
Hi, I'm Sidney Crosby, and I accept Ice Bucket Challenge in support of all those with ALS, especially Pete Freitas.
Then, teams.
All right, JT here.
Celebrities.
Over the head.
Families. Everybody. In less than a month, the challenge became a viral sensation and a fundraising engine. Oh, yeah! The irony is that while Pete Freitas challenged so many others, he never took the challenge himself. So, August 14th, in the perfect place, on a perfect day, the outfield at Fenway, Pete Freitas did what he's asked so many others to do.
You ready for this?
Pete Freitas and those who love him know. The challenge goes on. But thanks to him, now, so many others know it, too. Where does a...
Before we do this, I'd like you to fill us in a little bit, maybe while they're putting some ice. Aaron, that big one might be able to be divided into the other two for all of us. Sally, your son, Eddie, was in a terrible bomb explosion in Afghanistan. Lost both legs and an arm.
Right arm. Three fingers.
Can you just kind of feel, I understand on NBC today, this morning, did you know that? His story was told, somebody.
I did know it. Okay. I didn't see it, but a cousin sent it to me on Facebook.
Okay. you can just sort of tell about the burning of the house and then maybe a little bit of what's happened since then.
Yeah, his IED explosion was October of 2012, and he's been at Walter Reed ever since then. And he and his wife had just moved in to a rental house about last March, and they were enjoying some independence and trying to live like regular people. They were able to get their dogs back, and they were really enjoying living in this rental house while he finished his rehab. And Thursday night, about 10 days ago, the house, there was an electrical problem in the house, and it burned to the ground. They were in the basement watching TV. It was about 8:30 at night, and the stair lift that they had installed in the house, the electricity went out, so they couldn't use it. So Jess had to pull him up the stairs, and some neighbors came and helped pull him the rest of the way out of the house, and they lost everything. So, and both of their cars and all of his wheelchairs and all of his prosthetics, everything. So the community up there in Maryland where they live has really rallied around them, and also some national organizations have rallied around them to help
them. One organization is building a house, isn't it?
Yes, there's an organization called OurBravest.org that's a combination of the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in New York City and Gary Sinise's foundation. And together they have this foundation to build houses for the worst of the wounded warriors, the people that need really fancy electronic devices in their houses and stuff. So they've moved him up on their waiting list. They have a waiting list of 20 houses yet to be built, and they've moved him up to number one on their waiting list for getting a new house, so they're really thrilled about that.
Sally, thanks. That's Flip Klein, Eddie Klein, Flip Klein. All right, thank you for that. Now, do we have enough water and ice? We do.
Just.
Jacob, okay, everybody will get a chance to challenge somebody. Okay, Jacob, you want to go first?
Sure.
All right, come on up here, and you can challenge, then get in there. And Aaron or Pat, would you pour the water on Jacob?
Hi, I'm Jacob Sedesi, and I nominate my parents, my Uncle Mike Sedesi, my Aunt Tracy Sedesi, my cousin Stephen, and my Aunt Debbie Dell.
You're so glad you came to church today, aren't you? Yeah. All right. If you could, just kneel down. That won't be as much flats. Would you do that? That's perfect. All right. Remember your baptism. Right, yeah. All right, go ahead.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Oh! Some of you know Jay Cousino. These are his parents. All right. Can you kneel down?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I know, Nancy, you've got a knee deal, so. All right. You guys got stuff there? I think Pat is enjoying this so
holy
much.
Holy ice is 85 degrees, right?
Ice is 85.
Holy ice.
Holy ice is 85 degrees.
I'm expecting.
In memory of Bill Wilson. He was a member and got ALS. Thank you for telling us. All right. Nancy Sight. Oh, is that too much? Yeah. Yeah. Oh! Oh! How are you doing? Good. Donna, you want to nominate anybody?
Absolutely. I'm doing this in memory of my dear friend Rick Anderson, who died 2 years ago of ALS, and his beautiful wife Barbara, who's my very dear friend. And I'm challenging all my friends over on this side.
Oh!
Because they're an amazing group, and we don't get to see you guys too often. But if you want to join in, I'm challenging you guys. And that includes my mom.
Oh, okay. Kneel down. Oh, I can't stand up. No, you can stand up. Yeah, yeah. Donna Lutt, are you ready, Aaron? Cool.
I'm going to take all the...
Oh.
I'm going to nominate my sister, Stephanie Rodriguez. Yeah, I did it. All right.
I'm doing this in memory of my mother who had ALS, and I challenge my niece, Jenny, and her husband, Chris, and her daughter, Lily.
Mother Sandra Doney, but I specifically want to call out my wife Debbie Doney, who promised to do this but has yet to do so. We'll take care of that this afternoon.
Debbie, where are you? Oh yeah, happy day. Huh? All right, Matt.
I'm feeling particularly brave today. I nominate my wife.
After I do, I'm going to do a benediction now. After I do this, we'll sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit and be done, okay? Pray with me. God, thank you for this day and the power of these moments, for all the memory people we've done this in memory of and others. And for God, those trials you place in our lives and those lessons we learn about wisdom. Send us forth now in your grace, your power, and your love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.